FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is September 28th, 2016. In case you hadn't noticed, there's a little bit of turmoil going on in the world financial system, and that's why we've been concentrating so much recently on the resource sector, particularly gold and silver, insurance policies. You always want to have an insurance policy, no matter what. And we're really pleased to have our sponsor with us again, Keith Neumeyer. Keith, you are chairman of First Mining Finance. You've been so busy with that lately. And you're CEO of First Majestic, which, if you don't know, is a major producer of silver in Mexico. And we're thrilled to have you back on, Keith.
Well, Kerry, thanks very much. It's my pleasure.
So you're literally boots on the ground here with what's happening in the mining sector. So recently, prices, gold and silver, kind of look like they've hit resistance. Silver just doesn't want to go over 20, 2050. And gold looked like it was going to go break through 1400, but it's now in the low 1300s. What's your feeling where the markets are at right now in relation to where they were a year ago and where they're going to be, say, in a year?
Yeah, you know, the silver price touched, $21 intraday. And, obviously that was pretty exciting, from 1350 almost straight to 21 over a period of a few weeks. And then the stocks obviously just exploded on that move in the metals. And, now I guess to some degree, reality is setting in and maybe the markets realize that, things got a little bit too far too fast, and we're in this consolidation mode now, and silver seems to be really caught in this $19 to $20 range, and gold's caught in the 1310 to 1340 range basically, and it's just a normal pattern, in a normal market where a market's taking a pause, and quite honestly, September, October for the mining sector isn't generally great months anyways, so. This is quite normal on a seasonality basis, and I would expect over the next couple of weeks that this sideways pattern will eventually stop, and then we'll start to progress higher into November and into the end of the year and into 2017.
Well, I got to say, First Majestic has had quite a ride. Past 52 weeks, your 52-week low was 240, and your 52-week high was 1915. Right now, you're about 1075. I mean, that's got to be pretty thrilling there, huh?
Well, look, I'm a very significant shareholder, and I would rather see it higher, obviously. But look, it started the year at a $500 million market cap. It should have never been there. The mining stocks or the mining sector was completely oversold, completely being ignored. There was a hate on the industry. And then when all of a sudden the market woke up to the valuations, the money started to flow in to the sector. And the mining sector is quite small in comparison to, many other industrial sectors like high tech or others. So when the money starts to come in, it really moves these stocks in a big, big way. And that's what we saw. And, First Majestic went up to over $3 billion market cap. And today it's hovering around $2 billion market cap, which is still much better than where it started the year. But I think there's, obviously I'm comfortable saying this. I believe it's going to be a lot higher in the years to come, as silver prices improve. And, we're having some great quarters. Our fourth quarter, we're expecting is going to be quite a good quarter with some changes that we're making at the mining level. And we're doing some improvements at the La Encantada, which is going to help production there in the middle of 2017. So there's lots of good stuff happening at First Majestic, which will improve the company. And of course, on top of that, when you have silver prices starting to go higher, as a result of us being very early in this new bull market, it's going to really help the stock.
Yeah. Well, you can see the price goes up, the earnings are going to follow pretty quickly too. There's a lot of leverage in that stock. So, and looking at First Mining Finance, which if you're familiar with the symbol FFMGF on the OTC, FF, I think, on the venture. And again, another roller coaster ride. You had a 52-week low of 22 cents and then a high of $1.02. I'm talking US dollars here. I mean, you know, talk about gut-wrenching rides here. But now you're in U.S. dollars, you're at 64 and a half cents, roughly, Canadian dollars, 84 cents. So again, illustrating exactly what you mentioned about First Majestic, First Mining's kind of in the same boat there.
Yeah, and look, it's just not First Majestic or First Mining. It's the entire mining sector. You look at the volatility that we've seen over the last 2-3 months, you know, it's quite dramatic. This correction that we're seeing right now, and I've said in, you know, some other interviews just recently, that this is the you know, the first real major correction we've had all year. This market virtually went straight up from February to August. And, you know, thank God we're getting a recovery, because if we didn't, then we're just going to create this, you know, huge, you know, unhealthy marketplace. So, you know, this kind of action, this kind of basing out or recovery, whatever you want to call it, is extremely healthy for the future. And, you know, if you look at 2002 to 2012, that bull market, it lasted for 10 years. It did not go straight up. You know, maybe people think it did, but it did not. There was gut-wrenching falls or corrections during that period of time that, you know, I swore that, you know, it was it. It was over, but it wasn't. The market just kept going. So, you know, we're seeing, you know, inning one and, out of nine innings, and it's just a function of the market we're witnessing in front of our eyes.
Yeah, and hey, First Mining is just so well poised. I mean, you said 15 million ounces of gold in the ground, 8 acquisitions, but you're not one to rest on your laurels, Keith. You just did a recent transaction with Silver One Resources. If you're looking on the venture, it's SVE, and in the U.S., SLVRF, and got to confess to being a shareholder there. Dip my toe in, but so you basically transferred some properties from First Mining Finance to Silver One in exchange for some equity. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, I've been very clear with First Mining and what the whole you know, program there is, or what the whole business strategy is. And, you know, we are extremely aggressive. I launched that company, or it came public anyways. I was working on it for a couple of years before it went public, but it finally went public in April of 2015, and we had 18 projects in the portfolio. Some of those projects came from First Majestic. Some of them came from other companies as well, but I accumulated these projects privately, and then we went public. And then over the next 13 months, I wanted to very much focus on gold assets in Canada, because I felt that they were just so darn cheap. And we were extremely lucky to convince the management teams of 8 other companies to join forces with us and merge with us, and to create this really exciting portfolio. And it's really the most exciting portfolio in the gold sector in the entire world. You look at Ontario or the maps of Ontario and maps of Quebec, and see the assets that we hold today in our portfolio. They're just amazing assets. They're misunderstood, of course, and, you know, because they are with smaller companies, and the companies weren't particularly well financed, but the management teams of those companies did a good job in advancing them to a point where they couldn't advance them anymore. They needed more money. They needed, you know, different people and so on. And that's what we brought to the table. Now it's our opportunity now to advance these projects and prove to the marketplace what we've actually bought and what we actually own in our portfolio. And that's going to be the exciting thing that we're doing over the next year or so. And we're really, you know, I think investors should wait for some really important news on some of the strategic things that we're doing with our current portfolio. One of those was the Silver One transaction. You know, we were approached by them. You know, they're a good group of guys. I've known them for a few years. They built companies before. They're serious people that are seriously looking to build a silver exploration company. As your listeners probably know, there's not a lot of silver exploration companies out there. So I think it's a real niche. We sold them, or First Mining sold them, the entire silver portfolio, which was 3 projects. We got some stock for it and then a small royalty. So First Mining today is a big shareholder of Silver One. I've also put some money in myself personally, and I assume some of my friends have also put some money into Silver One. So, you know, we're really giving them the chance to try to do something with those projects. You know, they were never drilled when they were owned by First Majestic, because First Majestic doesn't really do exploration. It's very much focused on production, and those projects were bought by First Majestic when we took over another company. So they just never really had the attention. So when we spun them out to First Mining, we knew First Mining was going to finally find a partner that could really advance them, because we know there's metal there on the ground. You know, it's not a question of is there metal in these three projects. It's just a question of how much and if it's going to be economic. So the team now at Silver One are going to start drilling these projects out and then start, you know, coming out with some news, and we're crossing our fingers and, you know, hoping that these assets will turn into something. But in the same token, you know, talking to management at Silver One, you know, I know they're looking around. I know they're traveling currently looking for other assets to buy, and you know, they're really going to be focused on building up quite an interesting silver exploration portfolio over the next few months.
Yeah, well, it's pretty exciting times here. I mean, you never stop. I thought you were going to be taking it easy for the rest of the year, but doesn't look like it.
No, you know, this is the time to really be building businesses. You know, as I said earlier, you know, this is inning one of a bull market that's going to go on for several years. We don't know how long it's going to go, but, you know, I just look at some of the, you know, historic bull markets and in the resource sector, and you could, there's lots of information on the internet, but if you compare, you know, what I'm expecting to see happen this time around, you know, we had gold go from $250 to $1,900, you know, eight times yeah. Move, we had silver go from 5 to 50, and I predicted silver would hit 50, and obviously I was right. I'm now predicting silver is going to go to triple digits, which only time will tell if I'm right on that call, but I'm confident that it will be. And you know, that's another just as simple 10 times move, and it's happened before. I'm expecting it's going to happen again. So, you know, we're a long ways away from those days. But that's what I'm building right now. You know, that's why I'm focused on building First Mining Finance. And, you know, that's why we're doing strategic things at First Majestic Silver in order to ramp up production there over the coming years. And that's why I put money into Silver One.
Yeah, well, it makes total sense. And you've always been a contrarian, as you said, throughout your entire career. And it's definitely paid off some major rewards.
Mm-hmm. I'll continue to do that. I usually the street is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly they're wrong at the most advantageous times. Then later on, they get back in there. They're right for a little while. And then, we all know what happens. So, Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so much fast money out there too, and it's part of the reason why some of these stocks do what they do. You know, you just have, you know, 5,000 institutions chasing a couple of stocks, and you know, they if you get on the right side of that, you can obviously do quite well. But I don't advocate trading. I would not suggest your listeners to trade this market, because you know, it's just too difficult to do. But mm-hmm. You know, find good companies that are run by good management teams, and just kind of stay long and watch the development. And as long as the business continually to move forward, as long as there's no major ripples, and it appears that things are going the way that you're expecting they're going to go, and the reason why you bought the stock in the first place, then there's really no reason to sell it. And then, you know, if you own, you know, some good stocks over a period of 3, 4, 5 years, you know, you should be doing quite well. And that's how I invest my money. I invest my money for multiple years, not for trading.
Yeah, well, hey, trading is a whole nother animal. To me, that's like a business in and of itself. And I've known a lot of successful traders and a lot of unsuccessful traders. The successful ones invariably have got the right temperament, right? It takes a lot to really get it right with the timing and such. So if you're looking for another business, maybe that works. So hey, one other thing, when we were at the Sprott conference there, couple of weeks back, it's almost a month already, in Vancouver, totally different conference than what's happened in the past few years, wasn't it?
It was. It was, you know, refreshing, obviously. It's, you know, it's nice to walk around and seeing people have smiles on their faces. It's been a pretty tough 5 years. And a similar thing happened at the Denver Gold Conference just last week. And, you know, that's an annual conference that takes place, and it's institutionals institutions are invited only. So it's just for institutions and companies, and the companies that are there are also just companies that are invited. So this is the best companies in the sector, the biggest investors in the sector. Now, quite a lot different than the Sprott conference, which is very retail orientated. Sure. But, it's good, you know, because these guys are walking around, and some of them missed the move, you know, the big move from February to August. It was pretty parabolic, and it scared a lot of people. So a lot of the big money never actually even participated. So now we see this correction of, you know, 30%, 40%, 50% correction, which is pretty darn big correction, you know, and now the valuation corporations are coming in at a place where these institutions are saying, hey, look, now we got, this is our entry point. This is where we have to start getting into these stocks again. And that's exciting for me because they're going to be there for the next big move higher.
Yeah, and that marks a real turnaround from where we were last year this time. Institutional money coming back into the sector, actually showing a little respect for what managements have done, such as you, and putting their money where their mouths are. So big difference. And I guess we're going to see after the first of the year, perhaps see this market pick up again and resume its upward trajectory. You know, end of the year, you got people, you know, Canadian tax laws that favor getting rid of stocks and coming back in, and as well as in the States here too, some tax loss selling, things like that. And like you said, seasonally, not the best time of year. So I guess, Keith, we'll keep our eyes fixed on the bigger picture, and let's see what 2017 is going to bring.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, likely more volatility. You know, we are going through a presidential election, and it's probably the most watched television in human history.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about reality TV. I mean,
I know.
If somebody had written the script, a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have believed it. And you would have said, nah, that thing will never fly. And here we are, the globe is just transfixed. And the entertainment value alone is definitely worth it. So anyways, so if you have a chance to take a look at Silver One Resources, the website is silverone.com, really simple. And it's fascinating play. The symbol on the venture, Toronto Venture, is SVE. And on the OTC is SLVRF. And of course, you should definitely take a look at First Majestic and, of course, First Mining Finance. I think there's exciting times ahead here, and we're going to get a bird's eye seat of what's going to happen next here, Keith.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a message, you know, to your listeners, you know, I think patience is something that you have to really follow as an investment thesis, because, you know, we're getting a lot of phone calls from people that, you know, bought the stock higher they're concerned, you know, what's happening with the company. And, you know, they think there's a direct correlation between, you know, the activity within the company and what is happening to the stock. And it's often not the case. You know, the stock kind of has a life of its own, and, you know, the business itself can be, you know, moving along quite nicely and even advancing and getting better while the stock is going down. And it does get frustrating for investors. And of course, it gets frustrating for management as well. You know, we are building a business and we think the business is getting better, yet the stock is going backwards, and it is frustrating. So you just have to kind of look away sometimes. And, you know, I do look at the stock every day, but I don't fixate myself on what the stock is doing, because I know over the long run, it's going to be a lot higher. And that's really what I'm focusing on, is making decisions today that'll affect the value of the company in the future.
Yeah. And that's the proper way to do it. Think of the future, not the next quarter, because in 3-4 months, there's not a whole heck of a lot that you can do. It's the longer term trend. That's where the money's at, and you just have to be prepared for it. Anyway, Keith, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being on FSN, and we will be talking to you again soon as things pick up.
Yeah, well, it's great chatting again, Kerry. Appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.